good morning, good afternoon, good evening, bienvenue, wherever you might be in the world, and welcome to another wonderful edition of In the Streets with your girl, the Wailing Wall. And today we have our special guest, as I told you earlier, Ms. Keisha Tryon from Bridge of North Texas Shelter. And it is a homeless shelter located in downtown Dallas. And it is one of the larger shelters that really reaches out to more than, I want to say, about 1,000 or more people a day. And they have a variety of different programs that they help to utilize to get folks out of poverty and homelessness. And they really helped me in a time of deep crisis where I couldn't get my head wrapped around my situation, and I was throwing punches in the air at the world, at God, at myself, trying to get out. And this young lady really helped me to not only refocus, but to get really rooted and grounded in what I was trying to do so that I could make a solid foundation to get my children settled. So, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to introduce you to Ms. Keisha Tryon.
Hello, everyone. I am a HCC case manager at the Bridge Recovery Center. HCC stands for Healthy Community Collaborative, and on our team, we help our most vulnerable guests, those who struggle with both mental health and or substance abuse.
Awesome. And how did you get started in community and human service?
Well, it was definitely not planned. I actually started here at the Bridge as a safety officer, and I was simply passing through. I was only supposed to be working here for a year so that I could obtain a year of experience working with felons. So I decided to work at a homeless shelter versus the jail, and that's how I ended up here at the Bridge.
Awesome. Now, what led you into case management from safety officer?
Once I started working here and actually getting inside look on the homeless population, I knew that it was the place for me. I knew that I wanted to provide a helping hand to those in need. After grad school, I decided to follow up and go to grad school as well. And after finishing, I obtained my counseling degree, and I decided to stay here at the Bridge.
Awesome. So since you've been working with the people in such dual capacities, what would you say is your most influential moment with working with people that helps solidify your desire to stay where you are?
I would have to say when I would have to say that moment would be when a person finally realizes that they deserve to be happy, regardless of their circumstances. You know, the world of a homeless person is completely foreign from our own. Imagine life without the support of friends, family. Like, how many of us could survive something so traumatic? And it's amazing how the homeless person is able to live life every day without a support system, struggling with mental health issues, without having employment, and they still find enough light in themselves to keep going.
Amen. What are some of the common setbacks you see among the homeless?
Some of the minor setbacks. Okay, so you have some of the homeless population who are afraid to address their mental health concerns based off of their own personal background. They might feel as if hey, I'm not going to admit that I have a mental health illness, then people will call me crazy. And so you have some who are not willing to address that mental health concern. So it causes them to be stuck at a place of confusion and not really understanding who they are as a person. And it doesn't make them any lesser than the next person, but they have to be willing to understand what's going on with them mentally so that they can get the help they need. But because they're not getting that help, it's causing them to stay in their current situation.
Amen. So in that capacity, what are some of the resources available to help them cross that bridge?
Well, here at the Bridge, case management does play a big part. For example, when meeting with a client, it is our job to remind them that when they meet with a case manager here at the Bridge, that they are in a judgment-free zone. Like, we meet them where they are, and we let them know, hey, we're here to help, not to harm in any way. We inform them that we have our Parkland clinic on site. We have our counseling clinic on site. We have our Metro Care services on site. We try to make our shelter a one-stop shop so that our guest is not too overwhelmed by going and leaving and going to and from different appointments. So, no, we provide everything at their fingertips.
That's very good. That's very, very good. And I know for personally that helped me a lot, being able to just do everything right there versus trying to find transportation to get to and from and manage 15 different appointments in one day. Yes. Yes, indeed. So how would you bridge the gap between the community at large, who sees the homeless as a drudge on society or as something that needs to be eliminated? Recently, I saw some posts on Twitter from certain city council members who are shaming servers. You know how every weekend people come out and they serve the homeless that are not in the Bridge or around the Bridge, but at the end of it, the entire block is full of trash and clothes and things and whatnot. So they were very much complaining about how the block is left, and if we would just stop serving them, then the block wouldn't be trashed, as it were. How can we get more community members involved who serve to do a better job of making sure that the area in which they serve stays clean, or that those who are homeless receiving don't disregard the area that they're in? I know Fort Worth has a program where they're actually hiring the homeless to help clean up the areas that, you know, where people serve, where there's a lot of trash. Do you think that's something that could work here?
Of course that could work here. A lot of our homeless population, they would love to work. They're always looking for work, but sometimes it's kind of hard to do with the lack of money for transportation, them having to tote around multiple bags, not feeling the best about themselves because they're not clean. So if we were in a position to provide them with jobs, I think that would be a big help. Another way to get the community involved is to simply educate. You know, there are a variety of reasons why a person becomes homeless in the first place, you know, and some of those reasons would consist of, like, affordable housing, lack of affordable housing, loss of a job, divorce, illness, substance abuse. You know, any of these things could happen to anyone, even myself. So one of the first steps we can take toward helping the homeless is trying to understand how they got there in the first place.
Amen. I firmly believe in removing the stigma of homelessness. You know, a lot of people
take for granted what they have and that they're always have it. And the best example that I could give is what happened in Paradise, California. You know, that was like the echelon of elitism in this country, and they're all homeless now, you know, or if not all, the vast majority. And many people died in those fires that they were still trying to put out and lost everything. And when they woke up, they didn't believe that they would lose everything. But now they're having to deal with homelessness, even though they still have a financial means to sustain themselves, but they still don't have a home.
Of course. Like, I'm really big on showing respect. A lot of people ask me, why is it that, you know, so many of your homeless clients really enjoy working with you? I mean, respect is number one. It's key to a healthy relationship in case management. I would suggest anyone not to treat a homeless person as if they were invisible. You know, saying good morning to make their day. Many people experiencing homelessness tend to say that they lost their dignity or that accompanied their situation, and that's harder to bear than the actual loss of physical things.
Yes.
So respect is very important.
Very important. What are some of the best ways that we in the community can be a greater help to those experiencing homelessness?
I would say, maybe we could organize classes. Just simply giving them something to do, like, for example, the art class at the Stew Pot. I have many clients who really enjoy that they have that class there. They're actually able to go there, and it's a form of therapy. They're able to draw out how they feel, and it makes a huge difference. We might think that, you know, that's something simple, but to actually be a part of something and have a sense of belonging makes a big difference as well.
Yes,
so
indeed.
So simply organizing classes, like say for instance, we can come up with ways to show, well, to ask them how are they wanting their world to look once, you know, they're given the opportunity to get out of homelessness. What does that look like for them? Can they even see themselves in that position? So.
Yes, that's very good. I know when I officially came out of homelessness and into my own home, it was a struggle because you become very conditioned the longer that you're in homelessness on just survival. And for a lot of people who transition out, you not only have to transition them physically, but you have to transition them mentally and emotionally to handle not being homeless or not behaving homeless in their home, you know.
And I totally agree with that, and that's why the Bridge put into place the HCC program. Once we have our guests here, we follow up with them for 9 months, you know, to ensure that they're able to pay their rent, to make sure that they have enough food, to see if they're living in a healthy living condition. So we are aware that it's not about just placing our guests into housing, but it's also very important to make sure that they're okay once we do that.
Yes. And I always appreciated that because not having any family here in Dallas, it makes it even more difficult when you don't have a solid support system. I didn't have a lot of friends I could go to. I didn't have any family I could reach out to that were supportive positively. You know, some people really look at your situation and they want to keep you there because it makes them feel better about themselves. So for those who don't have family, just to be able to have someone to talk to and say, hey, I'm experiencing this, or hey, this is not going well, or I've lost another job and I can't get this together. It makes all the difference. So I highly applaud all your efforts. And I understand, Ms. Keisha, that you have recently won a Case Manager of the Year award.
I was really surprised. It really meant a lot.
Amen. How did you find out about your award?
Well, I actually found out via email from MDHA.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. And what is MDHA, for those who don't know?
The Metro Dallas Homeless Alliance.
Okay, awesome. And they're another service agency here in Dallas that does a lot of work campaigning and fighting for the homeless to get them what they need, and making sure that we continue conversations like this so that people become aware of what homelessness is. It's not what you see in movies or on TV, and the stigma and trauma of it is very real, especially when you're trying to find employment. I know, as for me, when I was trying to find stable employment, one of the things that they tell you is don't use a shelter's address, because everybody in Dallas knows where the shelters are, or they'll look up the address, and if they see that you're homeless, then they'll automatically just like toss away your resume or your application and won't hire you. And that tends to be a big struggle too. What would you tell somebody who's going through that battle and they don't have an alternate address? How can they overcome that?
Well, here at the Bridge, we have actually started our own ReRapid housing program, because we are aware that that is a barrier that our guests are faced with, and so we're willing to assist our guests financially for 3 months, so that will relieve some of the pressures of, you know, feeling judged by management of different apartment complexes. We also have our very own housing navigator, so she is very good at advocating for our guests.
Oh, that's wonderful. When did that start?
I would say, well, it's very new. It's been put into place, I believe, the last 30 days, if I'm not mistaken. So it is really new, and we're really excited about it here.
Well, that's good. Now, what are some things that the community should know in volunteering with your organization, or if they wanted to donate, how do they go about becoming a part of what the Bridge is doing in the community?
Well, they can definitely go to our website, thebridgerecoverycenter.org, and we actually have a tab that says donate, and they can go on our website, read on our different programs and organizations that we have here. And yeah, we're open to volunteers and donations, because we are really eager here to help those who are homeless and in need.
Awesome. So what is the great community call to action that the Bridge has for its neighbors?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that again?
Sure. What would be the great call to action that the Bridge has for its surrounding neighbors and community?
Well, you know, like I said earlier, we have a variety of programs here at the Bridge. We're all about bringing the homeless people in, making them feel welcome. That's why we call them guests here, because we want them to feel welcome, and also let them know that this is not their only stop, that this is their only passing through. So we provide medical services for our clients, such as our Parkland Clinic. We also have a mental health provider. We have veteran services. We actually have transitional shelter where they could stay here until their housing arrives. We have a peer support group, which is fairly new as well, where we have individuals who have also faced a life of homelessness, drug addiction, and things of that nature, and they're here as a support system as well. So if we could get our neighbors to encourage the homeless population to follow up not only with the bridge but with other shelters, we can actually take out the time and provide them with the help that they need.
Awesome. Awesome. Are there any key takeaway points that you really want to hit home on for the community at large? Maybe they're not here in Dallas, but they're in Nebraska or New York or Pennsylvania, and they want to know how they can really help the homeless in their areas.
Well, I would have to say, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of the homeless. They're human just like us. Like I said earlier, things might have happened in their life that caused them to be where they are. Always, like I said, always show respect and love. Encourage them to follow up at a homeless shelter. Invite them to a church if you have services. If you have extra food, be a helping hand and provide them with something to eat. We have to be mindful that, you know, you might be the only nice person who they have came across in their life, you know, and to know that people who care still exist can really make a big difference in a person's life.
Amen. Amen. Well, Keisha, it has been an absolute joy and privilege speaking with you, and I know we're going to get to catch up on a whole nother level later. And I'm so happy about your award. It is more than earned and greatly well deserved, because you are one hell of a case manager. And I got to tell you guys, she was one person that really kept her boot in my butt, because I'm stubborn. I'm stubborn. And I would have regular meltdowns and like I would just like fall out and just curl up in a ball and just be ready to die. And she would really gently but firmly remind me why I was meant to push forward. And then here we are today. And I gotta thank you, because you don't know how many times you really saved me from a suicidal moment. You don't know how much you changed my life so that I can change others' lives. Hence this podcast that has been birthed out of the situation. And Keisha, I thank you, because after 5 years of walking around in homelessness, you were the literal only person who took time to listen to me. You were the only person who really took time to hear me and help me guide the ship to where it needed to land, so that I wasn't still being tossed around by the seas of my life. And I thank you for that. I thank you for being humble, open, and honest. I thank you for allowing me to understand your personal life and your world. You know, you let yourself be human with me, and that was something that a lot of case managers and shelters that I've been through didn't do. I was just another number, another face, another case to manage, you know, get them in, get them out. And I thank you for getting me in and getting me out, but doing it the right way. So congratulations, honey.
Thank you, and you are very, very welcome. Thank you for making me cry. But I really appreciate that, and you are awesome, and you continue to do what you're doing, because like I told you when you were on my caseload, you were created for a reason and with a purpose, and you're going to do awesome in all that you do. Oh, thank you so very much.
Oh, you're welcome, sweetie. Now I'm going to cry. Oh, you know I'm full of drama.
I do miss it, love you, though, Queen. And I greatly appreciate you taking your time to reach out to our listeners and to let them know what the bridge is there for. And I highly recommend those in the community, if you're going to send a homeless person anywhere, send them to the bridge. And I mean, send them to the bridge. And there's other shelters out there, but if they need assistance in really getting up on their feet, the bridge is where they want to be, because they will do exactly what they say. They will help build the bridge to your stability. Everything that you need is in that house. So thank you, Keisha. I'm going to let you go to your day, because I know you are busy with other people to manage. And I love you. And I kiss. And we'll talk again soon.
Yes, ma'am. You're very welcome. Anytime,
huh? All right, sweetie. Bye-bye.
All right.
Well, folks, that it was just like phenomenal for me, because she played such a pivotal role in my life. And as I stated, I was homeless for 5 years, bouncing from shelter to shelter to shelter. And she was the only one that reached out to me and saw me for who I was and what I could be versus what I was trapped in. So be mindful of that. The person that you see on the street panhandling, the person that you see torn up and tattered, the person that you see, and forgive that phone ringing, the person that you see talking to themselves, the person that you see that doesn't smell good and they don't seem to be all together, didn't start out that way. Just like you didn't start out where you were to where you are now. Just know that that's another human heart that we need to reach out to. So with that, I thank you guys. I love you. I'm grateful to have you on board. Please share this information with somebody. Thank you for supporting. And if you'd like to be a podcast guest, you can inbox us at inthestreetsezine@gmail.com. I will put that information in the Bridge Shelters Recovery Center information in the description of this broadcast. If you'd like to advertise, you can still go to our email, industriesezine@gmail.com. Our prices are exceedingly reasonable. We look forward to it, and we love you. Have a great day.